Our reading this morning comes from the last chapter in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumour spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is God's word.
Well, thanks, Sue, for the Bible reading, and thank you for the invitation to be here and to speak from God's word on such an important occasion. Days like today bring back memories, don't they? For James and Rochelle, of course, there's the memory of their wedding 12 years ago to this day back at Petersham. And then on top of that, as Ken said earlier, just as going to a wedding makes you remember your own wedding vows and the day when you made them, a service like this today is a reminder for those of us who are pastors of the day when we stood in front of a congregation and made promises similar to those made a few minutes earlier by James. A reminder of those promises and that day and of the whole journey that led toward it. For me, the memories go back to a day 19 years ago, give or take a month, when I travelled up from Stanwell Tops, from the conference site where my beach mission team was gathered for a weekend away, and I drove up to Sydney, to Morling College, and I spent a morning in interviews with the committee for the ministry, subcommittee after subcommittee, one issue at a time. James and Rochelle have been there too, slicing through the various dimensions of my life and my convictions, exploring with me whether this path of pastoral ministry within our association of churches was one that I should be pursuing, and whether they could endorse me in that pursuit. And then a year or two later, at the back end of 1999, I remember sitting down for a series of meetings and interviews with a search committee from Petersham Baptist. And they again interviewed me at length and in depth to discern whether I was the kind of person that they wanted to call to be a pastor in that church at Petersham. And then at the end of all those interviews and others, when all had been said and asked and weighed and tested, I stood in front of a congregation on a day much like this, and I answered questions once again. And I made promises like the promises that James made this morning and was ordained as a pastor. There is a whole lot of detail from that day and from the process leading up to it that I've forgotten now. It's faded from memory or been repressed, buried. But the sensation, the weight of the questions, the gravity of those occasions has stayed with me ever since. And so this morning, with those memories going through my mind, along with those others of us here today who have been through a similar experience, I want to speak a word to James in the first instance, but also to all of us who've put our hands up to travel a similar road, and to all of us too, all the rest of us who stand here to witness and to stand alongside and to encourage. I want to speak a word reminding us of the questions we were asked and the answers that we gave when we stood on the threshold of this journey into pastoral ministry within God's church. And the way I want to do that is via that story in the scriptures, the story we heard read for us a moment ago, a story about an interview of sorts, an interview for pastoral ministry. A very simple, repetitious kind of interview, but an arduous one nonetheless. An interview for pastoral ministry and a commissioning on the back of that interview that is analogous, I think, in many ways, to the commissioning taking place amongst us in this ordination service this morning. The wider context, of course, the wider context of this story is the story of the whole Gospel of John, which it concludes. The story of the God whose word spoke the world into existence in the beginning, the God who loved the world so much that he gave his Son, the story of the sending of the Son into the world as light into darkness. The closer context in the previous chapter of John's Gospel is the encounter of the risen Jesus with his disciples, with the 12, or at least with 10 of the 12. When he breathes on them and he imparts the Holy Spirit to them, and he says to them, and by extension, I think, to the whole church, when he says to them, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. The particular commissioning of Peter to pastoral ministry, recorded here in John 21, is nested within that larger commissioning of the whole church in chapter 20 to participate in the mission of God within the world in the name and in communion with Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Within that larger general missionary commission that Jesus gives to the whole church, to all of the disciples, Jesus speaks this second, more particular commission to Peter as a shepherd and a pastor for his people. I said a moment ago that Peter's commissioning in John 21 is nested within the whole church's commissioning, the commission of the 10 in John chapter 20. But the one doesn't follow immediately after the other. There's an episode in between that makes a crucial difference to how we read the conversation in John 21. John 21, verse 1. Afterwards, we read. Afterwards, after the commissioning of the 10, after the appearance to Thomas and the invitation that Jesus gives to him to touch the wounds in his hands and his side, after all these things, afterwards, chapter 21, verse 1, Simon Peter rounded up half a dozen other disciples and got back in the boat and went out fishing. In context, after Jesus has just breathed out the Spirit upon them and sent them out into the world, in context, it's hard not to read this story as a moment of uncertainty for Peter and the others. Fishing is what they used to do. It's what they left to follow Jesus. Jesus has died, he's risen, He's appeared. He's commissioned them. He's breathed his spirit upon them and sent them out into the world. And now they're stepping back into the old life, the old task, the old work that they were familiar with before they met him. There's nothing wrong with fishing, of course. But not for these men. Not at this moment. Not in this story. So they go out fishing, you know the story. And they toil all night. And they catch nothing. And then early in the morning, the sky begins to lighten in the east at the start of the next day, and they see a figure on the shoreline gesturing to them. And he tells them to throw out their nets on the other side of the boat. And suddenly they're hauling in ridiculous quantities of fish. More than they can handle, it's breaking the nets. They figure out it's Jesus. And Peter leaps out of the boat and he swims to the shore and they haul in the fish and Jesus cooks it on the fire and they have breakfast with him. And then Jesus pulls Peter aside and they go for a walk and he says to him, first verse in our reading, verse 15, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? In context, I think, the question is not, do you love me more than you love these other disciples? Nor, I think, is Jesus asking, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? Now, Peter is sometimes prone to making those kind of comparisons, but that's not Jesus' agenda. Now the question in the context of the story, at this moment in the story that John's Gospel is telling, the question I think in the context of the story is, Simon, do you love me more than you love these fish? All 153 of them. Do you love me more than these fish that you used to catch for a living? Do you love me more than these fish that you fill your belly with? Do you love me more than you love your skills, your business, your career, your investments, your livelihood, your sustenance, the very food that you eat? Do you love me more than these things? That's the question, I think, that Jesus puts to Peter. It's the basic question. It's the bottom line question that sits underneath our own decisions too about life and discipleship and ministry. Do we love Jesus? Do we still love Jesus? More than these. More than everything else. To ask the question in that manner is not, of course, to imply that everyone who loves Jesus ends up serving in pastoral ministry as their particular vocation. Or that no one who loves Jesus goes fishing. But it's to recognise that for you and for me, for those of us who have put our hands to this particular plough as the work in which we serve the Lord Jesus, those of us who have found ourselves called and appointed to this task, this is the question that comes back to us again and again as the one that we must answer, the basic question we need to answer and keep on answering. Not just do we believe and subscribe to all these ideas, important as that question is, not just is this career working out for me the way I expected, not just are my skills being utilised and appreciated, do I get some recognition for this, am I doing the most strategic thing I could imagine doing with my life? They're all worth asking, of course, those questions, some of them more than others. But in the midst of them, underneath them all, there's the question about our heart and our affections. Do we love Jesus? Do we love Jesus more than all these other things we may have sacrificed to serve him in this calling? Jesus asks Peter the one question. It's the same question. The wording varies slightly, but the substance is unaltered. Jesus asks Peter the same question three times. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter answers, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus replies, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Within that general missionary commissioning that Jesus gives to the whole church, there is this particular pastoral commission that Jesus gives to Peter, and by extension, as the first letter of Peter, which was read for us a little while ago, reminds us, by extension and analogy, to all of those whose work includes the oversight and care and teaching of God's people. The missionary commissioning and the pastoral commissioning go together, and they both matter, and they both belong in connection with one another. Emphasize the pastoral commissioning, disconnected from the missionary commission, and you foster a church of consumers that exists only to be cared for and to be fed. Emphasize the missionary commission, disconnected from the pastoral commission, and you end up relating as a pastor to a church simply as a workforce to be recruited and rostered and mobilized. Jesus says to the ten and to the whole church, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And he says to Peter here, feed my sheep. The assumption underlying the command is that faith is a fragile, hungry thing. Believing in Jesus, according to the picture you get in John's Gospel, is not just a decision that you make when you're 18 that can be presumed upon for the rest of your life. No, it involves feeding on him, chapter 6. It involves remaining in him, chapter 14. It requires the work of Jesus the shepherd to keep you and take care of you as a shepherd takes care of his sheep. And it's a work in which Jesus includes Peter here in chapter 21. So as a middle-aged sheep, and I'm speaking now not as a preacher or a pastor or a college lecturer, but as a Christian, as a congregation member. As a middle-aged congregation member, a quarter of a century on from the first zealous commitments that I made as a young adult back at the end of high school, as a middle-aged sheep, can I say to you, James, and to all those among us today who serve as pastors of God's church, can I say as a Christian, as a congregation member, to you as a pastor, don't take our faith or our perseverance for granted. Urge us on by all means to acts of service and a life of mission. That's a big part of how we persevere. But feed us and watch over us too. Give us reasons to keep on loving and following and serving Jesus. Give us reminders of the gospel over and over again. Give us wisdom in applying the truth of the gospel to all the messiness and complexity and accumulating weariness of life. Feed the sheep that God has entrusted to your care. That kind of responsibility comes at a cost, of course. There may be all kinds of painful conflicts, weary labours, sacrificial decisions involved in following this vocation and serving in this office. There's a hint of that, isn't there, in those mysterious words that Jesus goes on to say to Peter in verse 18. Very truly, verse 18, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. You're not always going to be in control. You don't write this story. And your life is a journey into dependence and into weakness. You're acting a part in a play whose script you did not write. And John adds, verse 19, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death, ultimately, the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, just as he'd said to him right back at the beginning, the very beginning of the journey, he said to him again, follow me. The path will not, of course, be the same for everyone. That's the point of the next paragraph, isn't it? Peter looks back over his shoulder at the other disciple following them and he says to Jesus, what about him? And Jesus says to Peter, what is that to you? If he's to remain alive till I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. You are not the only one, James, who was accredited and ordained for pastoral ministry within our association of churches this year. You're one of a cohort. A whole batch of newly minted, newly ordained pastors being commissioned for this work in churches around our state this year. You know most of them, you've studied with them, you've trained with them, you'll see them year by year at assembly and revive and preaching conference and so on. As part of what it means to be ordained within an association of churches. And with that great strength and blessing and encouragement goes a temptation. A temptation to look sideways and not straight ahead. To compare, to compete, to covet. It's a special temptation that pastors are afflicted by. Some of them perhaps may outshine you spectacularly in the visible things that God does through them. Some of them may have long and comparatively comfortable ministries in places where you would love to have been called yourself. Some of them may labour all their lives in obscurity, or go through crises you could never dream of. The point is not to look sideways and compare your lot. The point is to look forward to Jesus. Keep following him. A threefold question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me more than these? And a threefold commission. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. May God help you and me and all who labour in this task among our churches to answer those questions and to respond to that commission with all of our hearts for all the years God gives us breath to serve in this calling. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who is so worthy of our love. We thank you for the way in which that word of grace and truth by which you created all things, that word that has shone into the darkness of a fallen world, is spoken so perfectly and so completely. In the story of the life and death and resurrection and ascension and reign of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you that in loving him, we love truth and life and light and you as our Father. Keep us, we pray, loving Jesus more than all things. Keep us who serve within your churches as pastors in that particular vocation, loving Jesus. Keep James in all the ups and downs, the joys and tests and trials of his vocation as a pastor. Keep him loving Jesus. And Father, we pray that you would work through him and through all who serve as pastors in your church to feed and to take care of your sheep. Feed our faith, we pray. Keep us from falling, keep us from stumbling. Watch over us. Keep us in the path that leads to life. Guide us, we pray, so that we might be part of that magnificent story that you have called us into, having sent your Son into the world and sent us in him, that magnificent story of your saving love for a lost world that you love and that you first created. Use our lives, use all of our lives, we pray, in that magnificent extension of your saving love into the world, for Jesus' sake. Amen.